Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, this morning, once again, we've come here, Lord, because we need you desperately. We need to hear from you, Lord. Once again, we need more than ever in our lives to know your thoughts, know your ways, know your heart, Lord. This morning, Lord, I surrender all opinions, all thoughts, all desires to you, Lord, for one purpose, that your desire may be fulfilled in this house today. Not only in this house, the building, but in this house, the temple, Lord, and for every life that's here, Lord. Surrender, Lord. Holy Spirit, once again, we've yielded control to you to bring about our Father's will into this house and into the temples, Lord, that are here today. You speak, you touch, you exhort, you comfort, you do, Holy Spirit. What is the direction of our Father? Let no man be exalted. For this we praise and thank you for your presence here this morning, for your divine purpose and plan that leads us and guides us, that even comes sometimes and taps us and says, this is the way, walk in it. We receive that from you today, Lord. My heart is open, Lord. I profess and claim that, Lord, and speak that. My heart is open. My mind is open. My heart is receptive. And I'm ready to hear from you, Lord, and to receive what you say today. I pray that for every individual here, Lord. Ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings, for our mistakes, Lord. We confess them. We don't repent because of selfishness or because of what it appears, but we repent genuinely, Lord, because it displeases you, Lord. We confess it, forsake it, and we turn from it. Starting right here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the outcome. Thank you for touching hearts, exhorting, comforting, building up. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord.
As you may have already figured out, have been wrestling with the Lord, not knowing exactly what to minister this morning. And I'm going to be obedient. I thank God it's not my responsibility what happens with what's said here this morning. It's God's responsibility. So I yield it to Him. Totally turn it over to Him. Amen? What you folks do with it is between you and Him. None of my business. Amen? I can only work out my own salvation. I want to start, if you will, with 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Humanity, whether in the church or out of the church, has a thorn in the flesh that sticks its head up at the most inopportune and inappropriate times and over them. Things that, it's amazing. It's amazing. And there's not one person in this house or outside of this house that's not guilty of it. Sometimes pride, arrogance, self-elevation gets us to say and do things that we think about afterwards and really wish that hadn't happened. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," their meaning not corporate, but individual. And then it goes into the corporate. "Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Corporate, collective, everybody together. Praise the Lord. For some reason, we, as humans, act on impulses and stimuli from outside rather than stopping and letting ourselves be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we say and do some dumb stuff sometimes. How many know what I'm talking about? And then afterwards, we have to go and repent, when if we were really led by the Spirit of God, we would not have gone there to begin with. If God was really in control, then our mouth, our thoughts, and our emotions would have been in control, and it never would have happened. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26, has some interesting things to say about humanity and about things that we don't even consider. Sometimes we just, you know, we get set in our ways, we get set in our opinions, and, you know, we're not much wanting to let anybody else have any interaction with our, you know, with that or not, or we're not, what am I trying to say? I don't know. What I'm trying to say is sometimes we let our alligator mouth overload our gnat behind. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. There are times when our emotions, our impulses, our thoughts, our desires, our will comes out, vomits all over everybody else. Is there anybody in here who can raise their hand and say, I'm not guilty? You got to listen to the whole question, folks. The one thing that I do know is that we're told to work out our salvation. What I would like to have somebody do, if they would, is look up the scripture. If you got your Bible, look up the scripture that says that we're supposed to go and correct everybody else. Would you do that for me, please? Can somebody find that for me, please? The scripture that says we're supposed to go and correct everybody else and set everybody else straight. Well, I will tell you, in all the years I've been a Christian and been in the Word, I've never seen it, but I thought maybe I missed something. With that being said, let's see what God has to say. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not, or you shall not, fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When you step out in any situation or anything you do in this life, no matter what it is, and you let yourself go into the flesh, you automatically put yourself, according to the Scripture, under law and not under Spirit. Which means there may be a problem with God's grace for just a second. That doesn't mean He's taken it away. It means you've stepped out from underneath that grace. Amen? Are you with me? Do we agree? Your Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Where we have a problem sometimes is we don't exactly want to treat others the way we want to be treated when it comes to mercy and grace. Don't you understand? You're going to hear my opinion whether you like it or not. Whether it's right or wrong, you're going to hear my opinion. How many been there? You don't have to really raise your hand. I'm not looking for votes. I already know, because you're no different than me. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're very evident. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Idolatry and sorcery, as I looked them up, are basically almost synonymous. It's manipulation. It's control. I want what I want. My opinion's the right way. We better do it this way. Wrong. We better do it God's way, or we've missed the mark entirely. Amen. Hatred, contentions, that's any kind of strife or disunity or discord that comes out, no matter where it comes from or what it's about. See, the one thing I know by the Word is that if I have something that I'm not in agreement with, it's not my job to walk up and put you straight and say, don't you understand? It's my job, according to the Word of God, say, Father, I pray for this situation. First of all, Lord, I pray that my eyes would be open and my understanding would be enlightened and illuminated to see if I'm wrong. And then to pray, God, open their eyes. It's not my job to go and try to tell them what the Holy Spirit's told me. It's my job to do what the Word of God tells me to do. When the Word of God goes forth from a pulpit or from a man or woman of God, your responsibility is to listen to that Word, judge it by the Spirit, because the Spirit and the Word always agree, and then you make the necessary changes. Don't put it on somebody else. Amen? Now, I can tell you all are real comfortable about this, but you ought to be in my shoes. Jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Our full-time job, I'm going to say this one more time, And I'm going to keep telling myself from now until Jesus takes my last breath, until my last breath is given up and I go to be with Him. Our job is to work out our salvation and to let the Holy Spirit work on us to change ourselves, not change somebody else, or superimpose our opinions or our ideas on somebody else. God doesn't need our help. How many know that's true? The Holy Spirit is quite capable. Not too many amens on that, quite capable. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So if there is no law, you can't be under the law in practicing those things. But you don't do that just because you make up your mind one day. That's the starting point. That's the stepping stone to get to that point. Amen? You make the decision. God steps on the scene through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit steps in and begins to work on your heart to change those things. It may be evident, sorely evident to everybody else, where you're at or where I'm at, but our job is to pray for them and trust God, is it not? I can't remember one time in the Scripture where I saw Jesus go in the name of the Father and set anybody straight. He may have set a situation straight that was wrong that God had ordered him to take care of, but he never went on his own will and set anybody straight. He did the work of the Father, which was to deliver, to set free, to give truth. And what does the Bible say about truth? The truth will make you free. And who is the truth? What is truth? It's the living Lord, God, Jesus. I can't find anywhere in the Word where it talks about a gifting and calling of setting somebody straight. Can't find it. And those who are Christ's have crucified. That means put to death once and for all. I'm reminded of what Galatians 2:20 says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yeah, my flesh lives on. But my will to do my will or to have my way is being crucified, and I continue to crucify it every day. So the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the safe faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I live, but Christ in me. Now we're on a journey. Things happen in people's lives differently and at different times than they do in everybody else's life. We understand that. And it's not our responsibility to go out and try to get some or to expedite this or get it changed in somebody else's life. Our sole responsibility is to go and preach the good news, not rail on somebody and say, that's sin! And yet there are churches out there who that's their whole ministry is based on that kind of nonsense. The world is crying out to see the real Jesus. That's what we're supposed to minister is truth. How many people are going to come into a situation where they see discord, disdain, and disgust for the brothers? I'm going to run into that. You want to be a part of that? That's exactly what I want. Not. I want my life to emulate Jesus every moment of every day with every breath and every word and every thought that I have. And I want God to continue to work on me to bring me to that place. How about you? Verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. I hear in my spirit the words, Bill, there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. Left to my own devices, I'm headed to, and I will headlong run straight into destruction. If I don't yield myself to the control of the Holy Spirit, then I can step in and do all kinds of things that are wrong. And at that point, I'll tell you right now, my prayer is, God, remove me, because I'm not where I need to be, and people don't need that. And God will do that. He will do that. That doesn't mean He's turned on that individual. It means that He's not pleased with it. And so, until somebody can get their head screwed on straight in the Spirit, it's time for them to step aside. And I want that. And you know why I want that? because I realize that God holds me accountable, whether in the pulpit or as a person, just individually ministering to another person, accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth. It's easy for me, it's easy for humanity to sit back and judge from an armchair position everything that goes on when they have no responsibility. Oh, we like to complain as human beings. We like to point the finger and walk around with disgust about everything that goes on. But we don't like it when the light comes in and shows on us and shows our shortcomings in the areas where we've missed the mark. Oh, that's uncomfortable. We don't want to go there. But boy, we can sure see the faults in everybody else. I had a man come to me recently and said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I've been trying to remove the speck from somebody else's eye when there's a log in my eye." You know, I respect that. God respects that. Because that's the right thing to do. That's the right way to think. See, the point is, when you're focused on somebody else's, what you think is wrong or what you think has been done inappropriately, that means that you've lost all sight of looking at yourself to the places where you need to examine and see where you've missed the mark and where you've maybe not been right. Amen? Hey, this is not my opinion. This is the Word. This is out there. I believe Patrick's making a CD. It's out there for the scrutiny of the whole world. But you know what? I don't care. I care what God thinks. And if I'm wrong, God will convict me. Not me. If you're wrong, God will convict you. Not me, you. I am not the Holy Spirit. I do not convict people of anything. My position is to share the good news, share the truth, and then God does with it what He wills. Because He knows what to do with it, when to do with it, and the people's lives at the appropriate time. Amen? And all I do is get in the way and make things worse, cause a big old mess that, dear Lord, and then shame comes. At least for me it does anyway. Folks, I've been there and I've done that. I'm not going there again. I'm not going there again. I don't know of any pastor that's ever stood in any pulpit, whether he was right or wrong, that has never been criticized. Anybody who's been here in England at the time knows. Even some of us criticized Stan. And that's just one more step in a long legacy of the same thing. It's not about, this is where God called me. It's not about, this is where I hear and feel the truth. But if I get my feathers ruffled, I'll just take my toys and go home. This is not an attack, folks. This is something that I believe is from the heart of God. He's reaching out to us. This morning on the way here, I said, "God, forgive me. Forgive me for even the very thoughts that are not from You." It's easy to forget when people stand in some kind of office, whether it's ministerial, pastoral, or worldly. You're not walking in their shoes. You don't know what they face. You don't know the pressures. And you're not being helpful by being critical. You're only being helpful by praying for them. You're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem if you're critical. Nobody said you had to like everything everybody does. Amen? Where is it written in the Word that said you have to like everything everybody does? God doesn't even say that about Himself. But He says you got to love in spite of it. And that means you don't consider yourself. I don't know how many ways to say that or how many ways God has to say that to us to get that in our spirits. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in Me to sin, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to the man by whom the offense comes." Do you understand already Jesus is speaking here? And what He's saying there is, don't worry about it, little flock. Don't worry about it. You're Mine. I've called you by My name. You're Mine. He'll deal with those things. You don't have to defend yourself. He'll deal with those things. And that's the same with everything that goes on in the body of Christ. And that means not only in this wall, in these walls, but outside of these walls. The body of Christ. That means corporately. He'll deal with it. He's got more than ample ability to set things straight. Normally what we do is we get involved and we screw things up, cause all kinds of offenses, and then here we have Jesus saying what He said. This is something that's going on clear back in the days of Him, prior to Him. Who do you want to emulate? Is it God and His ways? Or man and his ways? Or the religious leaders' ways, if you will, back in the days of the Pharisees and Sadducees? If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It doesn't mean if you're the eye, you go to the foot and say, I'm offended, now I'm going to cut you off. I'm not sure that got to anybody. I think that went out and dropped. I trust God because the word doesn't fail, doesn't return void. And cast it from you. It's better that you enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Now, people, let me also say something here. I'm not talking about judgment unto death, but I'm talking about judgment that stops, just like you turn to valve the blessings of God, because there's pride. We just read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, not go out and try to humble somebody else, and seek my face and turn from their, not their like in the group, but their own, my own wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land, your place, your little part in this whole picture, as well as, and then healing can come corporately too. Amen? Are we on the same page? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it's better that you enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 17, and we'll close with this, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. It basically echoes what Matthew said, maybe in a little different way. See, can I just tell you a truthful statement? Can I just tattle on myself here? One of the biggest struggles I ever had in my life is the fact that because of the way that I was brought up and the things that happened in my life as a child, I got it ingrained in me, there's only one way to do it, and that's the way you've been taught, or basically the person who was teaching you their way, and no other way was correct. I don't care if the job got done or not. If it wasn't done the way you thought it should be done, it was wrong. And there's too much of that running around in this world, in the church. I'm reminded that the Bible says, our ways are not His ways. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And if the job gets done, then where's the problem? Huh? Where is the problem? Thank God, God can even use people who are outside of your normal... Let me back up. God can use anybody, even ones you may not think or know for sure at the moment that they're walking with God or not. If I recall correctly, it was a donkey that spoke to the blind man Saul before he became Paul. Thus we get, God can use any jackass. But you see, the way He uses them is by them being surrendered to Him, obeying His will, listening to what He says He wants, not listening to what I say I want. I struggled with that. Oh, dear Lord, I struggled with that. And it took a man who is my superior in a very meaningful, useful, and helpful way to make that clear to me. I couldn't see it. I was stuck in a rut. I had blinders on my eyes, and I couldn't see it. I just didn't understand. Brr, doesn't compute. Sorry, tilt. Doesn't compute. Thank God, I got it. I ask again, who cares how a thing gets accomplished, a direction, a thought, or a change in a life? Who cares how it happens as long as God's the one who does it? If the change comes, then praise the Lord. It was successful, right? But if I try to superimpose my will, my opinions on you, what are you going to do? Rebel. And who's guilty? Me. Because I tried to superimpose my will on you. Right? Oh, y'all are missing some good places to say amen. It is impossible, verse 1 of chapter 17 of Luke, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Did you hear that? It's impossible that no offenses should come. There's going to be people out there every day who They may be in the church, they may be out of the church, who are going to say and do things that are going to be offensive. But where is your level of maturity in that? Do you stand there and try to defend yourself and get right back and add to the problem? Or do you open yourself up and say, God, if I'm wrong, you're my judge. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I'll fear you because you can take my name out of the book of life. And fear doesn't mean afraid. It means respect. Everybody judges everybody else by their actions, but they themselves want to be judged by their intentions. Ooh. Y'all know it's not like me to give a message like this. It's not the way God usually directs me. But you understand I'm not talking out there. I'm talking right here too. Aren't we all part of the body? Praise the Lord. It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, you rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. See, for me to retaliate when somebody says something that's offensive to me, for me to retaliate and try to put them in their place, or for me to retaliate and put them, you know, try to say, you know, I mean, I am not the Holy Spirit, and I don't have to defend myself. One of the things that I know for sure is even when you're wrong as a man or woman of God, even if you're wrong, God's grace and His mercy covers that and causes it to what, according to Romans 8? For what? For those who are called according to His purpose. Not my purpose, not my will, not my thoughts, not my likes, not my dislikes, not my comfort zone. According to His purpose. And I can tell you right now, when I think outside of the Spirit, or when I let my worldly thoughts go, I realize two things. First of all, I'm not working the works of God. The Spirit's not in operation there. I'm in operation. And once again, just simply stated, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has them. And sometimes they're smelly to everybody else except you. And I'm not saying that because I'm judging one way or the other, whether you're right or wrong. I'm saying, which I put on me harder and longer and faster than I do anybody else, consider your ways. Amen? That's why you don't see me. How many remember that we're here? There's only just a few of you. How many remember the day that Stan went in, was ready to walk out the door? This is years ago. Walk out the door and go and set a situation straight. That by all rights, by all thought processes and everything, he was in the right place to do. Except for one thing. Yes, he had the word. And yes, the word said that. Yes, the word said what you need to deal with and that can't have this kind of stuff going on in leadership, adultery and things like that. Yes, he was justified. But the one thing he forgot is once again, and this is what we all struggle with once again, here it comes again, someday we're going to get it, we hear it enough. It's not the outcome we struggle with, it's God's timing. We already know what the outcome is going to be. He reaches down to grab the door. God says, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to go take care of the situation. And God says, what's that in your hand? Well, it's the Bible, it's your word. Then you'll use it when I tell you to. If he'd have operated on the impulses or the knowledge that he had from his brain, he would have missed. And God would have had to done something different. The opportunity to see God's supernatural hand move to convict and heal adultery in the church, in leadership in the church. And I'm here to remind you, folks, adultery doesn't just mean a physical act of infidelity. It can mean a spiritual act of infidelity also. And I say this all to say that we all need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We all need to consider our ways. We all need to not be operated on or be moved by impulses, but by the Spirit of God, who says, this is the way. Walk in it. You're never going to go anywhere where everybody's going to agree with you. In life, in the church, I don't care where everybody's going to be. The Bible says like-minded, meaning we all have the same goal.
But the way we get there is not up to you and I. The way other people get there is not up to you and I. Amen?
I can remember as I taught people, as I trained them for the job on the sites that I've been responsible for, that I've told them, I'm not telling you I agree with everything that these people ask of us, but agreement is not required. Obedience is required. I may not understand why they have this rule or that rule in place, but my understanding is not important. My understanding, the best understanding I can have, is to know they are there for a reason, whether I see or understand it or not. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if I'll obey them, I'll be successful. I'll be prosperous in what I've been set to do in that place, even in a secular job. And it's the same way in the Word. You want to be prosperous? You want to be successful? Then you obey, whether it's comfortable or not, whether you like it or not, what the Word says. What does the Bible say about when you'll eat the good of the land? When you're willing and obedient. That's when the blessings come. We all have the ability to be irritated by little things that everybody else does. But what and who gave us the right to go and get in somebody's face, especially disrespectfully, in a situation where it's not just one-on-one, and try to set them straight and vomit out your opinion all over everybody? Who gave anybody that right? I don't see that in the Word either. That's God's job. He's the only one who sees clearly to judge. The only one. Is that truth or is that not truth? Not my truth. It's God's truth. It's right there in the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, the only motivation I have to stand here is obedience and love. First of all, a love for my Father. Second of all, a love for you. And nowhere in that, in 1 Corinthians 13, do I see where it's based on my opinion or whether I like everything that's done or not. I can tell you right now, there's things in our lives right now, as we sit here right now, in every one of our lives, right here, that God is not pleased with. But I don't see Him coming down and railing on somebody or making a scene or being angry. He comes in that still small voice. And can I tell you something? Sometimes when God speaks that way, that chastises me worse than if you'd have taken and beat me with a rod. Because all I want to do, just like a child, is please my Father. That's all I want to do. Am I perfect? No. I wish I could say I was even on the road, but I'm not sure about that. The only hope I have is knowing that as long as I obey this and do what He tells me, when He tells me and how He tells me, then I'm going to start on that road. Our job is to consider our ways. That means I got to consider me. I got to look at me and everything that's said and everything that's done. I've got to go inside and say, okay, God, this was said. Have I done anything that would cause this attack? And if I have, then I better get on my knees right then and there and say, I'm sorry. Doesn't make any difference whether they were right or wrong. Doesn't make any difference. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, you deal with that, not with them. Let God deal with them. Amen? Don't add insult to injury. It's in the nature of man to retaliate, to defend oneself. You don't know this, but every time I talk to Stan and I tell him anything that's going on, either in my life, in the church, or whatever, when he says, Bill, I'm coming, I got a message, I've given him the freedom to say, Bill, you're wrong in this. I gave it to him because I want to be right with God. And you know, not one time has he ever reviled me. Not one time. Even though I was sure that maybe I had made a mistake.
But he gave words that exhorted and comforted, that brought illumination to my spirit and my life and my soul. What gives us the right, or where do we get the idea we have the right to go and beat somebody up? Even if they're 110% wrong, or as some would say, 180 out, if you understand that terminology. In other words, 180 degrees going the wrong way. In other words, the opposite direction. What gives them the right? What gives me the right? Nothing. Nothing. Selfishness, self-elevation, self-promotion. Thinking I'm higher or better than somebody else. Last time I knew, every one of us put our pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And we all had issues we needed to deal with. And who convicted you of your sin? Was it a man? Or was it the Word of God and the Spirit of God? Amen. God loves us. And you know what? He loves us in spite of ourselves. In spite of ourselves. The whole world stood in the face of righteousness and truth and said, "Crucify him." And he didn't retaliate one time, but he fulfilled the will of God by being obedient even unto death. Amen? Otherwise, you and I wouldn't have a prayer today. We wouldn't be sitting in this place. I want you to know, I'm going to say it again, because I've made my decision. And all heaven and you can hold me accountable. I love you. And nothing you do or say in any way, shape, fashion, or form is going to change my love for you. Because I know who I am and what I am outside of God. But I also know who I am and what I am inside of God. Amen? And that's why I thank God and I cry out, "God, work on me." Because I see, let me tell you something, I see far greater than you'll ever see the faults that are in my life. Things that I disdain in me. And you know what? I'm reminded of the Word that says when I take those things and deal with those things in my life, then and only then will I see clearly to look at something in somebody else's life. And you know what? I don't see anywhere in the Word where you ever come to the place where you have that ability in your walk with God. I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. I don't care if you're a president, a vice president. I don't care if you're a policeman, a judge, or a lawyer. I don't care who you are. You'll never come to that place. Because you got a lifetime project of working out your own salvation. Amen? And one thing I know is when I surrender things to God and I'm not hasty to run my mouth, I watch God step on the scene and make it right. Amen? He works all things together for good, not me. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love you. Here I am. If you want to throw stones, please feel free. But I love you anyway. And I love you not based on what you do or how you treat me, but because you're God's creation. You're a brother and sister in the Lord. Amen? Nothing else plays into it. I've made the decision. How about you? Praise the Lord. Jesus. 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 Little heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something
about your name.
Jesus.
Father, take your word this morning. By the Holy Spirit, seal it in every heart. Not only within the sound of my voice in this place, but to those who would hear this word outside of this place, Lord, seal your word in their hearts. Once again, I cry out, cause your will, your plan, your thoughts to be the ones that are exposed and consideration is given to, Lord. If I've missed you this morning, Lord, if I've disobeyed you in any way, I repent. I'm sorry. I trust and rely on you, Lord. Teach me, Lord, in the way that I should go. And when I'm old, Lord, I won't depart from it. I love you, Lord. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for these people that you've entrusted to me, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that even though you've given to me, they're yours, Lord. I give them back. They're not mine. They're yours, Lord. And I will do what you tell me to do in the way you tell me to do it. Thank you for your patience with me, Lord, for your grace and mercy for each one of us in this place. The goodness and the mercy that follow us all the days of our life. I thank you, Lord, the seed's been planted, and I thank you, Lord, in your time, in the way you've designed in each and every person, the fruit will begin to show and come forth. I release all of this into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, I speak blessing, prosperity, health, joy into every life, Lord. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food from forth from our fellowship, Lord, and our fellowship together, not only with one another, but with you. Thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for your undying, unchanging, never diminishing love, Lord. For this, we all give you praise and thanksgiving, honor and glory forever, in Jesus' name. And if you agree, please say amen.
I just want to say that the message today was for me, and I just thank you for your continued prayers.
Praise the Lord.